Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Executive Committee meeting of the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission. We're holding our meeting today at the Las Virgenes Municipal Water District headquarters in Calabasas. We also have the ability, thanks to our friend sitting over here, to take comment from members of the public and to allow others to attend virtually. Meeting is called to order at 1 p.m. And I would ask that Caitlin go over the meeting procedures and then do a roll call for attendance.
Thank you, Chair. So this meeting is in a hybrid format in which members and the public are participating both remotely and in person, so we greatly appreciate your patience if we experience any technical issues or hiccups. So to help facilitate public comment, following member roll call, I will ask members that are participating remotely to identify the number of members of the public that are present at their location. And for technical support, connecting to or using the Zoom meeting platform, you can email it@agpvideo.com. Now, I will provide some information on how public participation will be organized for today's meeting. Members of the public may request to comment in the following ways. If you're participating via Zoom, you can use the raise hand function to virtually raise your hand when we reach the item under which you would like to speak. So this function can be found at the bottom of the Zoom app. If you're calling over the phone, dial *9 to raise your hand and dial *6 to unmute yourself. And if you're participating at a remote location with a executive committee member, please notify that member and who will then indicate that you'd like to speak by virtually raising their hand. This meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so we ask that you please speak clearly. And that concludes the overview of meeting logistics. Mr. Chair, I'll move to roll call for attendance and introduction. Okay, just sharing my screen. Okay. Catherine Peace.
Present.
Maura Monaghan.
Present.
Tessa Chernofsky.
Here, alternate for Supervisor Sheila Kuehl.
Thank you. Chair Caspary.
Present.
Tom Ford.
Present.
Claire Wagner.
Claire Wagner, alternate for Jonathan Bishop, State Water Board.
And Erica Yelensky.
Present.
Thank you. And Maura Monaghan, do you have any members of the public at your location?
No, there are none.
Thank you. And Erica Yelensky, do you have any members of the public present?
No, there's just me.
Thank you. So that concludes roll call. I recommend that we move to item one.
I can't hear the chair.
Thank you, Erica. Now is the time for members of the public to comment on items not on the agenda, otherwise within the jurisdiction of the Executive Committee of the Bay Commission. We will be generally limiting comments to a combined total of more than 4 minutes for every person. Caitlin, would you go ahead and call the first public speaker?
Yes, so we had two requests in advance to comment, Walter Lamb followed by Kathy Knight. Walter, I'm now allowing you to unmute yourself and I will share your slides. We'll be tracking your time separately and I'll let you know when you have about a minute left.
Great, thank you, Caitlin. Walter Lamb, Bino Wetlands Land Trust. We talked about the new access to Area A, and I wanted to update you that after some pretty significant planning and coordination, that students are now actually visiting Area A for outdoor nature education. Next slide, please. And this is kids from the first field trip going through the gates for the first time, the Fiji Way Gate, in many, many years. Next slide, please. We're encouraging kids to take the classes to take public transportation when possible. Next slide, please. And Area A is really very well suited for outdoor nature education. These are two of our educators with the kids from a field trip just yesterday. It's got wide accessible trails. Next slide, please. An abundance of native plants and animals. We've got the plants are alkali heath and Cressa truxellensis. The birds are hooded oriole, Cooper's hawk, and a bush tit. Just a few of many examples. Next slide, please. And it's just, again, just ideal. The kid, it's an enclosed space. There are a lot of invasive weeds. That's something that we'd actually like to, well, I'll address this later in the presentation. But just so much to see and really, really well-suited for outdoor nature education. Next slide, please. And the reason that I want to talk about why some groups oppose this access and delayed it, frankly, for many years is because this isn't the only issue. This isn't the only access issue, and it's not the only issue relating to the Bino Wetlands Ecological Reserve. This was a glossy brochure that got put out called Fact versus Fiction, in which the groups at the bottom, two of which are represented on this executive committee, argued without any basis that this area wasn't suitable to outdoor nature education program. It was just wrong. And some of the misinformation we heard about the dangers and just all kinds of fear tactics was really troubling. And what was most troubling about it, again, is that it delayed access for these kids. If you go to the next slide, please, you know, sort of talking about why this is important is because it's not just happening with access, it's happening with invasive species management, right? This is, again, the Bay Foundation site that you have not only funded, but that you're supposed to oversee as an NEP project. Next slide, please. And just, you know, it is just a constant battle of objective truth with this National History Program. And it's just really frustrating. Bay Foundation knows that they were founded in 1990. They like to say that they've been doing this work since 1988. They know it's factually false. It's just that they also know that they've got the political power that nobody's going to tell them, hey, you ought to fix that, right? You ought to make your Facebook page factually accurate. It's a
small... Forgive the interruption, Walter. You have about a minute left.
Okay, thanks so much. And likewise with steelhead trout at Malibu, we never took a position on the Malibu Lagoon restoration. It looks like there are some good things that happened there and some not so good things that happened there. But one thing that didn't happen there is that steelhead trout have not returned unless there's some data that the Bay Foundation has that they didn't put in their report, which shows a single sighting in 2014. This battle between science and marketing, the NEP is on the wrong side of it. And that's why we're going to continue to press for accountability and transparency. It's really unfortunate that there's just not cooperation on some of these just very basic issues. I won't have time to give a litigation update, but you know, unfortunately, there's almost certainly going to be more litigation. And you know, we'll just see where all this plays out, but it'd be really great if some people could speak up and say, you know what, factual accuracy is important. It's not a nuisance when members of the public come and share these points with us. Like, it's okay to make a correct and factually wrong.
That's the end of the 4 minutes.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Walter. Those are some wonderful pictures of the wetlands. Certainly a beautiful time of year there. Thank you for sharing those. Caitlin, do we have another speaker on this item?
We do. Kathy Knight, you should now be able to unmute yourself.
Okay, thank you.
The floor is yours.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Kathy Knight, I'm on the board of the Biona Ecosystem Education Project that's been working for 30 years to protect the Biona ecosystem. And we wanted to let you know that we are continuing to work with Grassroots Coalition to protect the underground drinking water aquifers that are there at Biona, and to also work to make sure that the proposed restoration plan to lower the area and let more salt water in would not happen, because it could damage the freshwater aquifers there. And I think we really, really, really need to save all of our freshwater aquifers with the emergency, especially with the emergency we're on. right now, but in terms of drinking water and all, but also for the wildlife out there. So I just wanted to let you know we're continuing, you know, to protect those freshwater aquifers as best we can. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We'll move on to the next item, unless there are more speakers that have called in.
No, there's no more speakers, Mr. Chair.
Okay, we'll move on to executive committee business. And the first thing is the order of the agenda. And does staff have any changes proposed to the agenda for today?
No proposed changes.
No proposed changes. The agenda will proceed as published. First, I would ask for a report from the Chief Administrative Director. Lisa?
Thank you, Chair. We'll see if I can manage this microphone here. So good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for being here today. I first want to mention that there will be an in-person technical advisory committee meeting on June 1st at Loyola Marymount University. We plan to provide orientation time for the new TAC members and then move into detailed planning for the State of the Bay report, including introducing the consultant, clarifying roles, and establishing a timeline for tasks and deliverables. A few other items to mention. In early June, Commission staff will participate in a stakeholder meeting for the ongoing Los Angeles County Public Works Trancas Canyon Restoration Study. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss findings of the hydrology, hydraulics, sediment transport, debris yield analyses, et cetera, and get feedback on concerns. So we will report back on that meeting. Commission staff also participated in tribal coordination and policy training provided through the Water Board. This is part of an intentional effort to educate ourselves in order to respectfully build relationships with local tribes and hopefully bring their perspectives to the table. I also attended a dock walker training. This was provided by the Bay Foundation in partnership with State Parks and the California Coastal Commission. I want to report back to the EC that I found the program and training to be extremely well done, and it very successfully engaged the public. This is a clean boating program to improve water quality that directly implements CCMP action number 27. The EC recently requested that staff look at the MOU, provide suggestions for needed changes, and identify potential space for groups that are not currently at the table. So we worked and we put together some ideas. We will send those to legal counsel for review before bringing them back to the EC. However, a major revision of the MOU was just completed in 2020. Undertaking another revision may be something to consider for 2023 before the next round of governing board member elections. So I guess that remains to be seen. I will keep you posted and we'll get feedback from the EC on that. Staff continues to move toward grant agreement execution for the new Prop 50 projects and continues managing Prop 84 projects. These Prop 50 funds are the end of the Commission's bond funds, so suggestions are always welcome to secure the next round of funds. The Commission, I think it's important that the Commission can continue to directly fund valuable projects. We have also been working with legal counsel to respond to PRA requests. And just a couple last points. I wanted to share that LA City Council member Mike Bonin and his staff took note of Shelley Luce's departure at the April Governing Board meeting, and they would like to recognize her hard work with an official certificate of thanks from the City of LA. So there's no word yet on if or when this will be finalized, but it just really highlights the importance of not just Shelley's work, but of all of you here and on the governing board. So thank you for your commitment to a healthy and safe environment for all. And last, just a quick update on future EC meeting location. Many of you remember that in the past, EC meetings were held at West Basin's Edward C. Little facility in El Segundo. West Basin has graciously offered to host again, but we have not yet confirmed date availability and details. So I just want to share that we very tentatively plan to restart EC meetings at West Basin in July. This concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions. Let me view the Zoom to ensure that there are no hands raised. Chair, I don't see any hands in the room or on Zoom at this time, so thank you.
Thank you. Happily, thank you, Charlie. And Marissa, thanks for the kind words and for all the efforts on our collective behalf moving the program forward. I'm excited about that upcoming TAC meeting, particularly to get moving on that State of the Bay program. I was going to take us from a national level to a state level to a local level with some of my comments today. Increasingly working with the Association of National Estuary Programs, I'm currently serving as its chair. So this is a group that helps organize and affect work across 28 national estuary programs. What I can tell you of the past couple months is we've been working with and presenting to the Association of Clean Water Administrators, which is a group of agencies often at the state level who are trying to affect improvements in their watersheds. Obviously, we have a very profound interest in the quality of the water as well as the health of our watersheds. So been a very nice set of conversations with them, trying to help synchronize some of our efforts and hopefully connect people who can help serve one another and help promote water quality, water availability, and the health of those watersheds. Just in this past week in Washington, D.C., could have been 2 weeks back, sorry, I didn't put down the date in my notes. The Coastal States Organization had met. These are folks that at this point in time are very keenly focused on coastal resilience in the face of coastal erosion and sea level rise, something that many NEPs have as a core part of their strategic plan, of their comprehensive conservation and monitoring plan. So again, another opportunity to have those conversations, see what they're up to, try to find any synergies to help move the interests of that organization as well as that of the NEPs forward, see who can help who, where, and continue to build those partnerships, which we recognize to be certainly the central element of what we do here. To the NEPs themselves, this is the appropriate, at least we just got closed with the House Appropriations, so this is in the U.S. House of Representatives. They would be putting together their budgets and their recommendations, which then move on to the Senate, which then move on to the President's desk when things are moving smoothly. What I can say is that we got 78 Congress members to sign on to a letter for support for the NEPs for actually full appropriations. So we had spoken around the table and planned our work plan around an anticipated budget of $750,000. For this coming year, which is a federal fiscal year, so that is October 1, 2022 through September 30th, 2023. The House is saying, hey, these programs are authorized to receive up to $1 million per year, and that's what we'd like to see this year. We'll see what the Senate decides to do. We'll see what the President decides to do, but I wanted to give you that update that at this point in time, we've seen a lot of support from a lot of members and that increased level of funding. So if that's the case, we may have to come back and bring a budget back before the governing board or the executive committee and figure out how we're going to make with potential not expected increase. What we have been expecting for some time is the bipartisan infrastructure law. Very broad sweeping legislation that looks to invest in environmental health, environmental justice, and climate change. Certainly very pleased that $132 million was directed towards the NEP programs in that legislation. We are working with the EPA. EPA is working within themselves, working with the President, with the White House, trying to figure out the final terms of the guidance for that program. We expect it pretty much any week at this point in time. And as soon as we end up with that guidance, then I think we can engage in a more formal process of identifying where we would like to make investments, which we foresee to be accomplished over the next 5 years, expenditures completed within seven or so, and to the tune of about $4.5 million locally in our Santa Monica Bay NEP program. Expect those funds to be directed towards coastal resilience and environmental justice issues. So that's sort of what's happening at the federal level, and then how that translates down to us here at the Santa Monica Bay NEP. Briefly want to say it was up in Sacramento, attended the most recent meeting of the board of the State Coastal Conservancy. It was a very interesting meeting, certainly a lot of potential coming through the Coastal Conservancy from initiatives at the governor's office of close to 350 to then for this coming year, $350 million, that is. Subsequent to that, another $150 million towards coastal resilience here in the state of California. So obviously a very pronounced need in order to secure our coastline and make it sustainable and make sure that it serves the people and the wildlife and the physical functions of our coastline. And what seems to be, at least in my lifetime, an opportunity never before realized with support in order to actually facilitate a lot of progress on the ground. So certainly we've got a lot of very interested individuals, organizations, and agencies here to make sure that we make good use of those funds. Again, more processes within the Coastal Conservancy and other levels, as well as what we might conduct here to try to continue to make progress on that very important front. As for Bay Foundation and our efforts of the past month or so to help further our progress on our CCMP, we've conducted some planning, taking the work plan that was approved by the governing board in April, working on some of those pieces so that we could complete our application to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency as soon as we work through that draft and have that final copy. We'll provide that to everyone so we can see what that actually looks like. So you should have that very soon, and that'll outline the expenditures associated with those 320 funds to make progress on our upcoming annual work plan. Within ongoing efforts with our current work plan, we've got five faculty researchers engaged through the Coastal Research Institute, close to 15 interns, all working on research and method development that should result in a furtherance of our monitoring that will provide us that feedback through our comprehensive monitoring plan as to the effectiveness of our intentions and investments in adaptive management of our landscape. So very exciting suite of projects. I'll be able to bring some more details to the governing board as part of my report there. We're happy to answer. Okay. As for our community engagement program, we continue to build inertia. I'm very excited about this with the Environmental Charter School System. So this is a suite of schools from Inglewood, Hawthorne, Gardena, Lawndale, they've been a terrific group of folks to work with. And we've made a lot of progress. Our Table to Farm program, you may recall last fall, we had a presentation for some eighth graders at the governing board meeting. And we were able to get some more support through a grant from the Environmental Protection Agency to advance those Table to Farm programs, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, make resources available to those communities in the way of foods and fruits, and help connect these students with biogeochemical cycling right there in their schoolyards. Appreciate the smile under the mask there, Catherine. As for our watershed programs, this is the time of year where we're conducting a lot of monitoring. So this is for our work in the Biona Wetlands Ecological Reserve, LAX Dunes, across the many projects that we have on the beaches from Malibu all the way down through Dockweiler at this stage, trying to see how those projects are moving forward, the results of those efforts in some cases now 5 years past implementation. So we'll have some more information about that in late summer once we collect all those data and have a chance to get through at least preliminary analysis. As for our efforts off the coast, I was fortunate to be out on the boat yesterday, which doesn't happen as much as it used to. And it was 52 degrees down there on the bottom. And we were out planting abalone to two of the sites that we've developed with California Department of Fish and Wildlife, NOAA, National Marine Fisheries Service. It was a great day on the water. Everything went lovely. The the plankton was green and thick near the surface. And yeah, 52 is enough to get your attention down there a little while. But just, it was one of those days where working with a team and everything just went super smooth. I was very pleased at all the efforts, which included tagging and cataloging those hundreds of animals that went out into the water, which was a week-long effort the week before, in which we had a number of volunteers and interns show up to help support that. All righty. Last thing I'll say that the kelp forest restoration project continues off of Point Furman at this stage, and there is growing interest within the state of California to look at our methods that we've developed for that project. Now, near 9 years of post-restoration monitoring, documenting the results of that effort. Hopefully we'll have a presentation here of that project in the coming months before the governing board, so we can actually dive into that with a little bit of depth. But pleased that not just the benefits of that project being realized locally, but starting to spread out and inform efforts within the state and in some places elsewhere around the Pacific Rim. And then the last thing I'd like to share with you today, and I appreciate your patience if I've been running on, is I spent most of last week in the Indian River Lagoon National Estuary Program as part of their performance evaluation. It was certainly a very interesting learning experience, very different system than the one we have here, but so many similarities and a reminder why we do benefit from these types of collaboration, and appreciate that the EPA has long said we should have a director from another program present and help us evaluate these other programs. Because as much as it was about their performance over the past 5 years, I knew nothing about mosquito impoundments and figuring out how to reduce pesticide usage while lowering the abundance of mosquitoes for public health and simultaneously generating tons and tons of sport fish, which become, environmentally beneficial and economically, developmental for their sport fishing interests recreationally and community and commercially down there. And just a body of great work going on there with all of the same, I think, characteristics here. Academic and applied research, strong partnerships at a municipal and state agency level, overlap with federal support and agency buy-in, and they're making tremendous progress while facing tremendous challenges in that system. So I'll be catching up on emails if I owe any responses to any. That's my excuse. Marissa, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you said Indian River Lagoon, and just in case anyone listening doesn't know where that is, maybe you clarify.
Thank you. So the Indian River Lagoon system is located on the central Atlantic coast of the state of Florida. Cape Canaveral sort of sits right in the middle of it. What's really intriguing is it's 158 miles long, while it is only miles wide. And its depth is around 4 feet average. For them, their biggest stressors or concerns of the past, say, 10 years have been very persistent and profound harmful algal blooms, tremendous loss of the expanse of seagrasses in that lagoon system, and then the subsequent impacts that are catching a lot of attention are the impacts on manatees. So they're no longer finding the forage that they need. They are starving, and they're dying by the hundreds. So there's a lot of very serious things going on. And at the same time, you see a lot of super projects getting plugged in, and hopefully we'll be able to get ahead of the curve. They're very pleased right now that their water's clear for the first time in many years, and maybe that's enough sunlight getting to the bottom to help these seagrasses rebound from their root systems, and maybe we'll see a pretty quick bounce back. But they're certainly making smart investments and making sure that they can facilitate that bounce back and maybe continue to invest in the recovery of those seagrasses for years to come. Thank you for reminding me to explain where that was. And that's the substance of it, Chair. So if there are any questions, I'll be happy to try to address them.
questions? Claire.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So you said there was going to be $132 million available for the NEP program. I didn't catch how much you said would be available locally.
Okay. Yeah, no, let me take a pause and break that down. So for the 28 national estuary programs, starting this fiscal year through fiscal year 26, we see $132 million assigned for investment. There's a small percentage of that goes to EPA administration. What this breaks down to is just over $900,000 per year per program. Over those 5 years, we're looking at close to $4.5 million.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Any other questions for Tom? Yes.
I am interested to learn more about your work with schools. You have it sounds like you're working with local environmental charter schools to educate the children about the importance of restoration and, you know, the bay work. And I'm curious to know if you're working with non-charter schools as well, and if you're also looking at schools that perhaps are further inland. I know of some that are really focused on environmental health and particularly biodiversity issues, but they're regular public schools and they're not along the coast.
Understood. So there's a couple pieces to that in my answer, Tessa. Our study area is fairly defined. It's certainly permeable for things like education and outreach and even some of the research that we might engage in. The environmental charter school system certainly falls within that study area, so that's a nice thing for us to assign support from the EPA to that and help make funds available through other EPA programs to that NEP-related work. A lot of the focus with those students has been efforts within their communities and on their campuses. There has been a bit of a spillover, certainly, into them learning about some of our work in the ocean. We had a chance to bring down the eighth grade class to the Cabrillo Marine Aquarium, which is run by the City of LA in San Pedro, so they could get a sense of what was going on the coast. There's certainly a tremendous amount of opportunity and need for education and engagement with schools. We honestly work with a lot of partners who do that. Heal the Bay is here, who has a lot of active programs in that regard as well. We don't have a tremendous amount of capacity at this point in time to take on a lot more of those educational programs. Would love to do so, and I'd be happy to talk to you perhaps on the side to figure out if there's a few places.
I have a question for you, Tom.
Yes, Riley.
Have you stopped shivering yet?
I did get it. I don't usually get too cold. I'm kind of built like a polar bear. But yesterday, that was a tough one.
Yeah, I believe that. Question on your planting areas for the abalone and also your kelp restoration work at Point Furman.
Mm-hmm.
Do these both take place in marine protected areas?
They do not.
Interesting to just have you any offhand observation about quality of the habitat inside the MPA where you may not have done kelp restoration compared to outside where you have done it?
Great question, Charlie. Trying to figure out how to get on the merry-go-round with that one. We were working in an area off of Long Point Palos Verdes starting in 2005, a series of small efforts there on reef segments. We finished off the last one in the spring of 2012, and that was just a few months following the establishment of the marine protected area that ended up over the top of that program. So that's as close as we've ever done any restoration work within an MPA. And it was by the graciousness of the department to say, hey, you had already started, let you finish and then get out of there so that we can see what this marine protected area then can do on its own. That's currently, I would say, I don't want to speak for the state of California too authoritatively, But they've been very interested to see what are the results of the protections MPAs have been granted. They're conducting a decadal review of that performance. Fortunately, we can lean on the chair of our TAC, who's been doing a bunch of that work locally in concert with other researchers to give us those results, essentially. They're going to assess that network. Subsequent to that, I think we might be able to start making the arguments that, hey, these marine protected areas are working or they're not working. We should think about changes to the management of them and have us either available or groups like ours to do restoration within their borders or add abalone to them or things like that. So right now, I think the state's trying to see what they've been doing, and then they may open the door for further adaptive management.
Thank you very much, because those programs have kind of not been front and center of people's attention for the last few years. And it dawned on me that there might be some really good news there that we would love to hear. So look forward to the state sharing that information sooner rather than later.
I will make a note to
let them
track
know.
That down
let them
and let them know
that,
and
you?
Also try to get an answer as to when they expect that process to conclude.
Thank you, Tom.
My pleasure.
Any other questions?
No questions, Chair. I just wanted to note that, actually, we do have a question,
yes.
But really quickly, I just wanted to note that EJ Colville had joined us in person, alternate for Gloria Gray, representing West Basin Municipal Water District. So.
You had a long ride. Thanks for coming.
And we have Erica Yelensky with her hand raised.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
Yeah, to the chair's just question to Tom, the Ocean Protection Council is hosting a series of webinars, I think getting exactly some of the questions you just asked, and I can forward it to Marissa and Caitlin. They're over the next couple of weeks, and they're kind of by habitat type. So I thought that might be of interest.
If you forward that, Erica, I will send it out as a meeting follow-up.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
No other hands raised.
Thank you very much. We will now move on to consideration of approval of March 17th. 2022 meeting minutes. That is the executive committee meeting minutes. Those have been distributed. And if anyone has any changes, like motion to approve with or without changes, whatever your pleasure is. No changes? Motion to approve, please.
This is Claire. I move to approve the minutes with no changes.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. We have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the March 17th Executive Committee meeting. Caitlin, would you call a roll vote on that, please?
Certainly. Give me 1 second to share my screen. EJ Caldwell? Here. Chair Caspary?
Yes.
Tessa Chernowski?
Yes.
Thank you. Maura Monaghan?
I'll have to abstain. This is my first ECU meeting.
Thank you. Catherine Peace?
I'll abstain also.
Thank you. And Claire Wagner?
Yes.
Thank you. The motion is approved. The March meeting minutes are approved.
Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is to establish the governing board meeting agenda for the June 16th meeting. And Caitlin to introduce potential agenda items for the subject of that meeting.
Thank you, Chair. So the first item staff is proposing is a presentation on the Safe Clean Water Program Fiscal Year 22-23 Stormwater Investment Plan. So Action 43 of our Comprehensive Conservation and Management Plan is to support implementation of the county's Safe Clean Water Program, which provides local dedicated funding to increase water supply, improve water quality, and protect public health. Three of the program steering committees lie completely or partially in the NEP's watershed. This is the North, Central, and South Santa Monica Bay Watershed Area Steering Committees. These steering committees review proposals and develop stormwater investment plans, or SIPs, which are annual five-year plans that recommend funding allocations for projects and programs in their areas. The program, the Safe Clean Water Program, also has a regional oversight committee, which will review each SIP and recommend to the County Board of Supervisors whether or not each SIP should be approved. So for the past 2 years, the governing board has adopted recommendations regarding the program's first and second rounds of stormwater investment plans for these three steering committees. The three steering committees, the North, Central, and South Santa Monica Bay steering committees, finished developing their respective SIPs for the third round of funding, fiscal year 22-23. And the Board of Supervisors expected to consider approval in October of 2022. So our past practice has been to present on the contents of the SIPs and bring a resolution before the governing board at the same in the same meeting at the same time. This year, however, staff recommends separating these items to first schedule a presentation in June to review the contents of the SIPs. And then the governing board's consideration of a resolution would be in August. This was recommended by county staff as the best timing for the Board of Supervisors' anticipated SIP approval in October. And it will also give members more time to review and consider the SIPs before a vote is taken. For the June governing board meeting, commission staff will distribute a staff report and a summary of projects that are included in each SIP. And county staff will present an overview of the program and the new projects proposed for the next fiscal year and their benefits, their proposed benefits. Members could also discuss the content of the resolution following this presentation that we plan to bring for the August governing board meeting. So that concludes my report. And Mr. Chair, we don't have any requests for public comment on this item.
Questions on that item? Marissa, would you introduce the next item?
Oh, question from Tom.
Oh, sorry, Tom.
Not a problem, Charlie. Kayla, I was just curious, do we know how many SIP programs we might be looking at?
Sorry
if I missed it.
No, that, you didn't. I didn't mention. So we have the three watershed area steering committees. Across all three, it looks like there's about 9 infrastructure programs, 3 technical resource programs, and 2 scientific studies.
But I just want to jump in and say we haven't confirmed on the map. A couple of those may fall outside the SMB NEP service area, and so our list might not include every single project.
I have a question. This will be presented by county staff, and then watershed coordinators will be a later meeting.
The watershed coordinators will have their own separate presentation. This will be on the projects that will be included in the resolution brought before the governing board in October, if that's approved. In August.
Thank you, Caitlin. A lot of dates for a turnaround, so apologies. Any other questions? I don't see any hands raised on Zoom. Oh, Erica? Oh, we can't hear you.
Muted myself. Sorry, I muted myself. Sorry, I just got confused. There will be a separate presentation by the watershed coordinators, or that's a whole separate thing happening in a different venue?
That's a whole separate thing. I think Catherine Peace is just aware that we have asked, it was a priority item to ask the watershed coordinators to present. It just will not be part of this item. It will be at a future meeting. And we will definitely let you know before.
Okay, thank you.
I don't see any other questions. Marissa, would you like to introduce the next item?
Sure, thank you, Chair. staff is proposing a presentation from new Technical Advisory Committee member Rosie Daggett of the Resource Conservation District of the Santa Monica Mountains. Rosie would be the first of several new TAC members to give brief presentations on their research and expertise to increase connection and awareness between the governing board and the TAC. Rosie has a tremendous body of local work, including many projects directly related to the CCMP. Her presentation will provide updates on Topanga Lagoon and highlight other important projects. So staff recommends that the EC approve this presentation for the June 16th governing board meeting agenda.
Good. Questions? Marissa, will you introduce the next item?
Sure. I'm actually going to pass that to Caitlin. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So the final item that we're recommending for the governing board's agenda is a presentation from Las Virgenes Municipal Water District staff on the Pure Water Project Demonstration Facility. So this is one of the priority topics that the executive committee identified for informational items, which is action 21 of our action plan, reuse, recycling, and advanced wastewater treatment efforts, ranging from the local to the statewide scale. So the commission recommended the Pure Water Project for Prop 12 funding back in 2018, and Water District staff presented to the governing board on the project's goals in December of 2020, following the completion of construction of the demonstration facility, which is a 100-gallon per minute indirect potable reuse facility for reservoir augmentation. So staff recommend to schedule a presentation on the Pure Water Project for the June governing board meeting, in which district staff will present an update on the water project. And our chair has also graciously offered to host a tour of the facility following the presentation.
Thank you, Caitlin. I'll just note that district is extremely appreciative of the support that the Bay Restoration Commission has given to the Pure Water Plant pilot program. We are holding events almost on a daily basis. We had a coffee brewers come in last Saturday and do a brewing event, and had cappuccino machines and some nice pastries, and we had many of our customers come through to look at what the next new source of local water is going to be. The district would very much like to invite all members of the governing board and members of the public to attend the tour of the facility after the next governing board meeting. We will provide a light lunch, and we're very proud to have our staff show that facility to you.
Well, thank you, Chair, and I just want to note that there will be a separate public notice for that tour in addition to the regular meeting agenda notice, so everyone should be aware and is included.
Would it be possible to include as part of that tour the work that you have done on landscape to make it not only drought tolerant but consisting? It looks like it's around half to two-thirds California native plants, which is good for the ecosystem. I think that would be very important as a role model to the rest of the region.
Thank you for that suggestion. We'll make sure we incorporate that into the tour, because we're very proud of the native plantings out there and the amount of water that those conserve on a yearly basis is astounding. So, great suggestion, thank you. Any other questions?
I'm just curious how I missed the cappuccino machine.
I'll make sure I call you because we have a gelato event coming up.
Now we're talking.
We're waiting for warm weather, for sure.
I will sleep out overnight to be first.
Thank you very much. We have three items presented, two DI, DII, and DIII, recommended by staff to the governing to the executive committee for the next governing board agenda. And I would actually like a motion to accept those three items for inclusion on the next governing board agenda. Thank you, EJ. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Catherine. Caitlin, would you call the roll on that, please?
Thank you. EJ Caldwell?
Yes.
Thank you. Chair Caspary?
Yes.
Thank you. Tessa Chernofsky?
Yes.
Thank you. Maura Monaghan?
Yes.
Thank you. Catherine Peace?
Yes.
Thank you. And Claire Wagner?
Yes.
Thank you. The agenda is established. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Unless Eric, counsel for the commission, has anything, I have been informed by staff that there is no need for a closed session in today's executive committee meeting. I will now call on member comments and announcements on regarding matters not on the agenda. Would like to make an announcement.
Erica Yolensky has her hand raised.
Erica, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted to share, I know there's lots of funding coming from the federal government. This may be of interest to you or some of your colleagues that our EPA Office of Resource Conservation and Recovery is getting a boost with the bipartisan infrastructure law funding to the tune of $53 million a year. And there are listening sessions happening over the next week or so for a couple of grant programs to boost recycling programs and hopefully reuse and source reduction. So I will pass that along as well to Caitlin and Marissa, if that's okay to share. And that's my update. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Any other member comments? Catherine.
Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to share that I was recently at a conference in Santa Barbara on DDT and the deep water dumping of DDT. So there's a lot of research being done by academics on this, and then it was also bringing together other stakeholders, so US EPA, Ocean Protection Council, and so I think that could be an interesting item to talk about. I believe it's been talked about here before, but possibly as a presentation in the future or for the governing board to hear. And there was recently an article in the LA Times that some of you probably saw about the DDT levels in California condors and sort of off our coast here, the marine mammals as well. So just something of interest, and I can share some of those that information with folks. There's actually USCC Grant is organizing a local conference in July that might be of interest to folks here. And that one is open to various stakeholders. The other announcement that I just wanted to let folks know is that Heal the Bay will be releasing our annual beach report card and river report card in June. It'll be June 22nd is our release date. So we'll share that as well once it's up. Thanks.
Thank you, Catherine. EJ.
Yes, thank you very much, Chairman Caspary. I'm coming here today to Las Virgenes. Dawned on me, I think this is the first time I've been back here since Metropolitan Water District adopted its resolution concerning the what are called the State Water Project dependent areas. And adopting that resolution, They have required all of those state water project dependent agencies to reduce their water demand significantly by approximately 35%, I believe. There are multiple compliance options, one of which is to reduce your outdoor landscape watering to one day per week. So that does impact several different member agencies, but it doesn't impact all of the member agencies, including large portions of West Bay Municipal Water District, Santa Monica, Torrance, and others. But I thought about how this body and the members could really assist as far as promoting a reduction in outdoor irrigation. It does have a very significant impact on the Santa Monica Bay when you reduce your outdoor irrigation. If you live in and around the Santa Monica Bay, you probably go out for a walk or a run and you see water just running down the street from a broken sprinkler head, or somebody washing their car and doing all these different things. And I think that there's no better time than right now when you see an agency like Las Virgenes, who is severely impacted by this, to maybe promote kind of a share the pain approach, that everybody should be reducing their demand and specifically their outdoor watering at this time, and hopefully it sticks. We're going to be in prolonged drought conditions here in California for the future. The term conservation is a California way of life needs to resonate. And so I would just ask this body and, of course, the governing body as a whole to think about what Monica Bay Restoration Commission can do to really promote this and highlight what Las Virgenes and others are doing, and maybe promote it to happen everywhere throughout the region.
Thank you for the comment, EJ. Tom.
May I respond to that, Charlie? So, EJ, we're trying to figure out what we can do with our communications at this point in time to help get that word out a little bit more broadly. And I don't think that I've got enough resources to respond in a timely manner to develop my own package, and I don't know that I need to. I think that there's a lot of messaging out there. I think there's a lot of folks talking about this. I know, speaking for the Bay Foundation, we would be very happy if you have talking points, links, et cetera. We'd be very pleased to take those and get that word out there through the folks that pay attention to us online and elsewhere. Shoot it on over. Thank you.
Yes, Marissa.
You know, to echo Tom's sentiment, I would also say that on our website, we'd be happy to have a drought resources box or something to promote saving water as well. If you could send something over to us.
Yeah, this is a critical time for water conservation. We need to start saving yesterday. Every drop of water that's wasted today will not be available in September. That is kind of the drop-dead date as to whether there will be enough water to even continue irrigating outdoors at all. Many parts of Southern California. Our district is 100% dependent on the state water project, and it is important that you cannot waste anything. And the difficulty is going to be some areas are allowed 2 day a week watering in under some jurisdictions, like portions of the city of Los Angeles, and the messaging given differing restrictions that have been adopted by various agencies, we can't let the message get too convoluted. It's got to be kept simple. And the simple observation is that do not waste a gallon of water, because if you waste it today, it's not going to be there in September. Losses to landscaping and habitat are likely to be substantial. So it's important that we all conserve every day, all day. So that's a great suggestion, EJ. I thank you and appreciate whatever help you can all give to get that message out. Yes, Marissa.
One last thought is that the June meeting with the tour and the presentation will probably provide another opportunity, and probably following that, maybe while awareness is high, we can send some materials out to the governing board members and really get some momentum going and get things spread around. So if either of you have things that we can share at that opportunity in June, that would be wonderful too.
Thank you. Any other comments? I will note that there's a conference being put on tomorrow in Long Beach by Smart Coast California. And that is an organization that's under the umbrella of the California Association of Realtors. And they're looking to evaluate and promote policies that improve coastal resilience. They're looking for solutions that are soft solutions that are sustainable over the long term. And I intend to drive to Long Beach tomorrow morning and attend that conference. Mm-hmm. And I'll share anything that looks like it has some legs with the governing board at the appropriate time. Any other suggestions? Yes.
Yeah, it would be nice if anybody has information on local lawn rebate programs. So I live in Sacramento. I just took my lawn out. It's a process, but you know, I'm sure there's rebate programs in the watershed, and so connecting people with those I think would be great, as well as local native plant societies to replace with drought tolerant habitat, this habitat versus drought tolerant from somewhere else.
Sorry, I don't know how many people actually watch these meetings. I hope a lot of people do, but because that was just said, I want to point out almost all of Southern California has grass replacement or turf replacement rebates. They'll actually, I'm guessing, will never be higher. So municipalities can get up to, I think it's $4 per square foot. If you happen to, a municipality that's in an underserved community or a disadvantaged community, you can get as much as $5 per square foot. So any of your water districts, including Las Virgenes, West Bay Municipal Water District, LADWP, you can always get those rebates, and they're quite significant right now. So a better time to remove your turf.
EJ, just in case there are significant and important people listening out there, that was $4 per square foot, and maybe as high as $5, depending upon the community in which you live, per square foot for removal of the lawn.
I'll note that there are some restrictions that apply to those programs, and artificial turf, replacing real turf, may not qualify. So it's important that you fully understand what you can do with that rebate and what you cannot do. But replacing turf with native plantings saves a huge amount of water. Thank you for that. Any other comments? Yes, Marissa.
Sorry, I just wanted, Catherine, I don't know if I followed up with you saying if you have information on the conference in July or anything else you spoke about, please send it and I'll send it out.
Erica Yelensky has her hand raised.
Thank you. You know, Marissa just took one of my questions. I'm glad you asked that. And then the other, I'm just curious if for any of the water districts, your communications include, you know, taking a 4-minute instead of a 5-minute shower saves this much money. Does it get to those specific examples? Because I think people, when we say waste, people that's subjective. So more, I agree with you, Charlie, but I also just, if there are more concrete examples, I think people appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Erica. Any other comments? Seeing no further comments, the next governing board meeting will be held June 16th, 9:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. And again, a tour of the Pure Water facility will follow. the governing board meeting. And the next executive committee meeting will be July 21st from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. I want to thank you all for your effort to get here today and wish you a safe drive home. Thank you for all that attended virtually. We love to hear from you. Meeting is adjourned.
Take care, everyone.